Second hour at Aaron Donick and Chase here on this Thursday morning. ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're live here at Bridgestone Arena. Predators will hit the ice in about 45 minutes or so. They'll have practice today. They're off tomorrow. Practice again on Saturday, and then they head to Edmonton, their hub city, on Sunday. They'll have an exhibition game, one exhibition game, against the Dallas Stars, and that'll be on July 30th. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here, like I said, live at Bridgestone Arena. Let's go out west. Jorge Castillo covers the Dodgers for the LA Times. Speaking of return to play, they're not returning to play, they're starting to play. Major League Baseball gets their season going tonight. It'll be the Nationals and the Yankees. That's the first game, a little doubleheader to get the Major League Baseball season started, and there'll be the Giants and the Dodgers in the nightcap. By the way, you can hear Yankees and Nationals here on these airwaves tonight. Jorge, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, we're both doing well, but probably not as good as Nashvillian and now Dodger Mookie Betts and the Betts family, right?
Yeah, that's for sure, man. That's for sure.
I think we were talking about it earlier. I heard this morning on Golic and Wingo on ESPN's National Morning Show that they figured out it was $79,000 a day during the life of the contract for Mookie Betts. Every day he wakes up, it's $79,000 in his bank account. Not a bad way to go for the next 12 years.
Yeah, that's a nice stimulus check.
I would feel stimulated.
Yes. Well, we've gotten to know him very well. We're very happy for him. He's a tremendous baseball player, and we're glad that he got rewarded. But were you surprised? Let's just start there. Were you surprised? We were a little bit surprised that this happened yesterday. What about you?
Yeah, I was too. You know, it's something the Dodgers made this trade. They traded for Mookie Betts, obviously, to try to win a World Series this year. It was supposed to be a normal season, 162 and all that. Things changed, obviously. And, you know, you start wondering, hey, is this guy ever going to play a real game for the Dodgers? You know, a lot of people were wondering that around here just because everything going on with the virus and then the negotiations between the union and the owners. And Andrew Friedman, the Dodgers president of baseball operations, yesterday said that they were talking contracts before the league shut down in March. So, you know, these guys, these two sides are talking. The Dodgers were enamored by him. You know, they tried to trade for him last year at the trade deadline. But the Red Sox got like a quick little winning streak there, and in Boston kind of pulled out of the negotiations. But they were all over Mookie. They've loved him for a long time, both as, you know, they saw what he was as a player. You know, he's probably the best player in the world, not named Mike Trout, you could argue. But they really fell in love with the person just in the first couple of weeks of spring training, you know, his work ethic, his leadership. And, you know, within the last week, I guess, you know, Mookie was, he told them, hey, if we're going to talk contract, let's talk before the season starts. I don't want to talk once the season starts. I don't want distractions. And over the next 5 or 6 days, the Dodgers and Mookie's agents, his reps, you know, they pulled it off. And second biggest contract in baseball history, record $65 million signing bonus, no opt-outs, no trade clause. There isn't a trade clause in there. There's some deferred money. But, you know, it's a lot of money, man. And the Dodgers have a lot of money to play with because their books are, you know, are pretty clean in a couple of years. They have no guaranteed money after 2022. And they decided this guy's their, you know, one of their franchise cornerstones.
Wow. By the way, if the Dodgers do any bowling or any charities around bowling, he will crush it on that, too. He's an unbelievable bowler.
He would be
bowler.
The first pick in the draft.
First pick in the draft. He's going to bowl about a 280, 290. That's how good
yeah.
he is.
I mean, you guys have been following him probably a lot longer than I have, obviously, but he seems to be good at everything he does. So,
yep.
Oh, definitely. Pick up basketball, no question. You want him on your team, too.
In fact, he told us during the lockdown, we had a really, really good, candid conversation with him on the show several months ago, Jorge, and he told us that, you know, initially he wanted to be a basketball player. He was dead set on being a basketball player, and as we found out yesterday, he made the right choice in going the baseball baseball route. What does it mean for them to have a guy like him in the fold and having a guy like Cody Bellinger? I mean, two of the best right there on the same team.
Yeah, two of the last four MVPs in the last 2 years, you know, American League, National League. So two of the best players in baseball, two top five guys probably by most projections and sort of metrics and all that stuff. It means that they have two guys who are, you know, for the next Bellinger, obviously, the Dodgers will have to deal with his contract situation in a few years. I think it's after 2023. He becomes a free agent. you know, there are a lot of variables in play here in terms of what the market's going to look like after the, you know, the pandemic and fans not being around, and, you know, maybe fans are coming around next year in a reduced capacity. What happens to the CBA after next year? But as of right now, for the next, you know, this season and the next three, the Dodgers have two of the best players in baseball. And, you know, Mookie's going to lead off. Bellinger's going to hit cleanup. You know, two five-tool guys. And, you know, the Dodgers are spoiled with talent. You know, a lot of teams wish they could have one guy like that. And the Dodgers got two. And it's, you know, it's pretty amazing. This team is – Andrew Friedman's done a great job of building a contender, a team that's won seven division titles in a row, but also has a loaded farm system and a bunch of money. It's a mix that a lot of teams, frankly, don't have. The only comparable, really, right now is the New York Yankees. And, you know, to me, those two organizations right now, they're the two best teams in baseball, in my opinion, and their futures are just as bright.
Yeah, that's a good combo to have. So another guy on the Dodgers that we've gotten to know very well over the years, played at Vanderbilt, in fact, played high school just miles from my house, in David Price, and he's not going to be with the Dodgers. What does that he opted out for Major League Baseball season? How does that affect the Dodgers without him ever pitching in a meaningful game or in a regular season game, a game that counted? I don't even know if you can really answer it, but how much were they counting on him?
Well, I think it will have an effect. I mean, the Dodgers sure hope it doesn't, but the Dodgers had him slotted in as a number three starter. They lost Hyunjin Ryu to free agency. They lost Rich Hill to free agency. They traded Kenta Maeda. So their depth, their veteran depth, kind of fell off. And David Price is going to be sliding in there behind Clayton Kershaw and the other Vandy guy, Walker Buehler. So not having him around means that they're going to rely on any Julio Urias to really hit his, you know, to reach his potential. Maybe not be a stud right away, but, you know, be a guy who they can rely on every fifth day. You know, they got Alex Wood, Ross Stripling in the fold. Those two guys are really good, you know, back end of the rotation pieces. But they, in my opinion, they need someone else to step up here and provide a third starter, especially in the postseason. And maybe it's not one of those guys. Maybe it's Dustin May, you know, their top pitching prospect down the line who can sort of figure it out. But it hurts their depth quite a bit. And, you know, all the guys have been saying, hey, we respect David's decision. You know, David Price is a guy who paid every minor leaguer in the system, 221 minor leaguers, $1,000 each in June to help him out. So he's earned everyone's respect. You know, everyone respected his decision. He obviously made a personal decision. Everyone's on board, and the Dodgers have to sort of just figure it out.
Jorge Castillo on the line with us, covers the Dodgers for the LA Times. There's a lot of miles between Nashville and Los Angeles, Jorge, but you would be surprised at how much we talk about the Dodgers here in our market because of some of the guys that we just talked about, especially now with Mookie Betts, and then at the time, David Price, and you mentioned Walker Buehler, but actually there is one more connection, and a guy we've talked about and talked to a lot on this show because he played college ball here in town, and Matt Beatty, and he really burst onto the scene, and man, when given the opportunities last year, really had a very nice season for the Dodgers. What are their plans with him? Do you know how they plan on using Matt Beatty this season?
Well, you know, initially, so last year he benefited, not benefited, last year he was used a lot as a pinch hitter. He got spot starts, you know, first base, left field, a little bit third base. This year I imagine sort of the same thing, but, you know, the DH is going to help someone out like Matt Beatty. You know, this team is loaded. They got a lot. They're, to me, the best, deepest offensive baseball. You know, so Beatty's going to be able to go in there, play some first base, play some left field, but he's probably going to get some time at DH as well. He's a guy that really, like you said, burst onto the scene last year. You know, just offensively, he's there. He's a very good contributor. The problem is the Dodgers are loaded. You know, Justin Turner at third base, and you got, you know, Muncy at first. Cody Bellinger's going to be playing some first base. You know, the outfield, you know, left field, you got Peterson, Pollock, Kike Hernandez, Chris Taylor. These guys, you know, Gavin Lux is going to come up at some point and play some second base. So they're loaded. And but Beatty's he's going to be there. He's in the opening day roster. He's going to be on there, and he's going to contribute. And the Dodgers really like him. I mean, he made the postseason roster last year and started a couple of games there, I believe. So he's a guy they really like. And, you know, he provides some versatility defensively.
It's just unbelievable how much depth they have on that team, Jorge. We're talking to Jorge Castillo from the L.A. Times. If you want to read an excellent perspective from the outside on somebody who's been covering the Mookie Betts story from the L.A. Dodgers perspective, of course, Mookie, Nashvillian, 12-year deal, $365 million. Jorge's got a great article in the LA Times about it. And Jorge, it seems like a big thing I'm picking up on from out there is the Dodger fans, they love all of these titles they've got. They love the fact that they've built this team with so many layers of great players, but they wanted that marquee star, that big-name free agent. And I guess Mookie's not technically a free agent. They traded for him, but you know, signing a blockbuster deal like that seems like it's got impact with the Dodger fans.
Yeah, I think from the Dodgers' perspective, they're not so caught up in big names, and they just want to have the best team out there. And I think something they've noticed the last couple of years is they needed another sort of top-end, elite, upper echelon talent for October. Someone who, you know, when they're facing the Strasburgs and the Scherzers and the Verlanders of the world in the World Series, can figure them out and will step up in the, under the bright lights. Now, this team has depth for days. You know, Bellinger is obviously one of the best players in the league. But Bellinger fell off in the second half last year. He's tinkering with his swing. He's still figuring himself out. But they wanted somebody who, you know, that's why they got bets for at least this year. They were thinking October, you know, let's win a World Series. Let's win a World Series with this group with Justin Turner, Clayton Kershaw, Kenley Jansen. You know, those guys are, you know, Turner's in his walk year. Kershaw and Jansen have this year and next year left on their deals. Let's win it with this group. And now, obviously, to me, signing Mookie Betts is, you know, finishing off that this era with that group, but also starting a new era with, you know, Betts and Bellinger and Buehler and Gavin Lux and all these guys that they have under contract and under control for the next, you know, 5-6 years. So, yeah, the Dodgers are all about just having the best team, you know, big name, not big name, whatever it is. They went after Gerrit Cole over the winter. They fell short, and then they set their sights on Mookie Betts, who they've been in love with for a long time, just like pretty much anybody else is, and they got him, and now they have a guy for a long, long time, man. Just 12 years, 13 years, it's a long time.
Well, I know you're gonna. I know you probably already dealt with him some, but he is all class. I think he's gonna bring a lot out to that community. I'm really looking forward to that. We're gonna miss having him a little bit closer to Nashville, but I know he'll always be a part of this community. I think he's gonna fit in great with the Dodgers. Jorge, thank you so much for joining us here and lending your perspective on this.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
Enjoy Major League Baseball returning today.
Yeah, wait,
we got
a big game tonight. We got a real game. This is exciting.
Yeah,
Jorge, thanks.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Jorge Castillo, LA Times, covers the Dodgers. Dodgers and Giants tonight in the nightcap. A doubleheader to kick off the Major League Baseball season. It'll be the Nationals and the Yankees. And then it'll be the Dodgers and the Giants in the nightcap. By the way, if you've never been to a Dodgers-Giants game, it is a nasty, nasty rivalry. Southern California versus Northern California, and you're like, oh, is it real? Yes. No, it's a nasty, nasty rivalry. And another one that is a hidden gem is, and I had no idea how nasty it was till I attended a game there, was at Chavez, Dodgers-Angels, sold out, packed. Ooh. And they do not like each other either. And they're two Southern California teams separated by not too many miles, and they do not like each other in different leagues. And I was like, huh, okay. I didn't realize it was this heated. They are not friendly.
And this year, the Giants are in full rebuild. They know they're not going to win the World Series. Their whole season will be based on, can we be a thorn in the Dodgers' side? I mean, that for their fans, that'll mean everything. They're going to do crazy stuff, the Giants. I'm hearing they're going to have the opener. They're going to have five or six pitchers go through there. They're going to be trying a lot of different things.
Like the Rays?
I hear the Rays.
Remember when the Rays were doing
the Rays still do it. But I hear that they're going to go to another level.
Oh.
That the Giants will do even more of that.
Okay. Willie, we now know the official name of the 32nd
team. Yeah, you remember
team
I asked John Clayton when
NHL
it was coming? I had heard that they were going to do this much sooner than we realized. John didn't seem to catch the vibe out there, but
well, it's today.
It's today.
It's done.
it's done.
And we're going to tell you the name of the Seattle franchise, which will be the 32nd team in the National Hockey League. They have their nickname. We'll tell you what it is and discuss on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Johnny come lately, the new kid in town. Everybody loves
back here on Darren Donick and Chase, as They play the outfield in Bridgestone Arena. Can we get an exact date on that? We're having a little bit of a – Willie says late 80s. I say early 90s.
Oh, it's 86, 87.
You definitely feel more confident than me.
I feel very confident, but let's take a look.
Say It Isn't So, the outfield.
Yeah, that's the number one song. That's the lead-off song on the album, if you will. 1988.
Okay.
I was off.
You got it because you said late 80s.
Yeah.
You just said 86, 87, so it was just a year later. I said early 90s, so good job. Definitely used to listen to this CD. I was going to say album. Didn't listen to it on album. We listened to this CD a lot. Good CD. All right. We're going to have Elliot Freeman at 1 o'clock today from Sportsnet and 31 Thoughts. We will get his thoughts or his thoughts.
Wait a second. Play deep. Outfield. Released in 1985.
Oh.
1985.
Wow. So you went from being.
I was right.
You went from it being.
A little bit
later
off,
than yeah. what you said, now to earlier than what you
released
said.
Released November 12th, 1985. So
okay.
Really 86 was when it was in the flow, in the big, you know, the top songs were on the charts and everything.
I guess I just don't recognize anything in the 80s that isn't a big hair band. So I just figured I just moved them into the 90s.
They had some hair, not a lot of hair.
No. So Seattle will become the 32nd team in the National Hockey League in the 2021-22 season. They now have their nickname. It happened about 15, 20 minutes ago. And let's get a drum roll, Elijah, because there's been a lot of stuff thrown out there. In fact, I had somebody reach out to me last night and say, hey, what do you think the nickname of Seattle is going to be? Just a random text from a buddy of mine. And I said, my answer was, and I'm going to see if you had your answer. Hold on. Let me get this here. I said it was going to be the Sockeyes. That's what I thought it was going to
really?
Be. Yeah, that was. There's been a whole lot of names thrown out there, and I thought it was going to be the Sockeyes, which is a fish, right? That's a type of salmon. Is
I
that
think
right?
So, yeah.
And so they're obviously known for that out there. And so I told him, I said, I think it's going to be the Sockeyes. Well, it is not the Sockeyes, so I was wrong. And with that being said, the drum roll starts. It is the Seattle Kraken. I was waiting for the symbol.
Where's the symbol crash?
What happened?
No symbol.
It's just a constant drum roll.
Deaf silence, yeah.
Hit the symbol.
The one I have here had no symbol at the
I
end.
I stretched it as long as I could, and I'm like, where's the symbol? The Seattle Kraken.
The Kraken.
Now,
to
it
be
is.
Honest, this was one that was circulating from the beginning, too.
So it's not Kraken. I guess that's how you
yeah,
spell
it. Kraken.
Kraken.
Like, yeah.
You know, if you're. It's Kraken.
Kraken jokes.
K-R-A-K-E-N. K-R-A-K-E-N.
Yeah, this is like an undersea beast.
Sure, if you
with,
say so.
With a tentacle.
Does it live in Seattle? This, this undersea
so.
Beast?
Apparently so.
Has it been spotted in Seattle?
I don't know.
Is this like Loch Ness? Is this Seattle's version of Loch Ness? Is this their monster, the Kraken?
I think it's a fictitious beast.
So there's not a show. There's not a show on National Geographic or one of these. I'm trying to say Discovery Channel. They do
like
a lot of fishing shows. There's nothing on Discovery Channel about the undersea monster in Seattle named Kraken.
I feel like if there's a superhero person out there. Wasn't the Kraken one of the enemies of Aquaman, or like the Kraken has been like a villainous beast in many stories from the past?
Wikipedia
right?
defines it as a legendary cephalopod-like sea monster of gigantic size in Scandinavian folklore.
Scandinavian, okay.
So maybe
so we
Vikings.
Need to ask Pekka or Mattias Ekholm or somebody
about the Kraken.
Yeah. So I guess it hangs out in Sweden or Finland.
Might be a little more intimidating for them.
But I feel like the Kraken was like Aquaman's enemy in the movie. Was that right? Maybe, what's the movie? What's the undersea movie? The Disney movie? Why am I blanking on that? Why am I blanking on the undersea movie?
2,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
No. Well, there was a big... I don't think they called it the Kraken in 2,000 Leagues Under the Sea, but there was a giant squid, right, that tried
yeah,
to...
Yeah, right. Was that a Kraken?
That was a version of the Kraken. I don't think they called it the Kraken. But there was also one in the cartoon movie, Little Mermaid. The Little Mermaid.
Oh. Well, I don't remember that.
Maddox skipped The Little Mermaid? You guys didn't watch
yeah,
that?
Yeah, no. I don't think so.
Why? You're not into the... You missed the
man,
classic.
He went straight from Disney Junior to YouTube. There was like nothing in between.
Man, he missed out. You got to bring him back. The Disney classics are a must. You got to watch those.
Everybody loves the jersey. I'm
going to
be honest.
Jersey.
I don't love it.
You don't
like,
love
everybody's
it?
Everybody's going, this is sick, man. Oh, this is incredible.
I like their colors. I thought it was going to be green. I was hoping for green. There's not enough green teams in the... In the NHL, I don't think.
Well, how would so they've got a navy blue.
It's kind of a sea.
It's got
blue.
A little bit of a.
It's kind a, of a sea.
Is that
blue.
A red?
There's a little red.
Okay, so but what are the other colors? How is that kind of all like right. A bluish green?
I'm seeing like a sea foam
kind
green,
kind of an aqua,
kind of a sea foam green,
sea foam green
with
okay.
Navy and a little bit of red mixed in, just a tiny bit of red.
I mean, I don't hate it. I'm just saying everybody's like, oh, this is off the chain. Woo, that is sick. It's like, okay. I mean, I'm all right with it. I wouldn't say that I absolutely love it.
Well, I can tell you this. I'm excited to go to Seattle. I've never been there. I can't wait to check that city out.
Yeah. I've only been to the airport. I've never spent any time in Seattle. And I haven't
been
to their ballpark.
Me either. And I would hope there's a chance that happens.
I mean, I will
Seattle
say this.
Kraken.
The more I'm looking at it, the more I'm starting to like it. I will say that. The more
you also have to see it live, like on the player on the ice, and they have no players right now. But I'm also a little surprised that they played it all in one shot like this. Remember the Predators when they started, when they were an expansion team? They slow played it. And here, by the way, the teams are coming out for the warm-up here. It looks like same teams. As yesterday, if I had to, at first glance here. But the Predators announced the logo first, remember? Then they announced the name of the team, and then they put the uniforms out, if I remember in order. Right? They did three separate unveilings. And that was that before you were here, Darren? Were you here? Had you just gotten here when they announced the name of the team at the Wild Horse?
I told you my first full day in Nashville was New Year's Day, 1998.
Okay.
My first half day here was New Year's Eve, 97.
So you would have been here when they, well, maybe not. Maybe it was the fall of 97 that they put the logo out there. I had to go back and check the timeline. But I know that they separated
it into three. I think it was
already
out there when I got here.
They separated it into three different events to try to milk it. You know, okay, here's the logo. Now wait and see what the nickname is. And then, okay, now we've got the jersey design. Let's show you what that's like. Seattle did everything in one shot here. So they're gonna capture the moment today, but, you know, they could have slow played it. They decided not to. Pretty cool.
There you go. Seattle Kraken.
The Kraken.
Yeah, I've never spent any time out there. Want to. We've talked about that as the trip, but never a bit. Maybe the Mariners weren't there at the time, but it'll have to happen now.
Speaking of now,
is their arena done or they're still it's still in construction?
It's a massive renovation.
I know they've already come up with the name of it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it's done.
Okay,
I don't think the old Key Arena. Speaking of immediately, there's been a big tweet by Adam Schefter. Did you see that?
No.
About another team and nickname.
I didn't know there was anything on Twitter right now other than Seattle Kraken.
It is amazing. It is. The hockey people are all over this. They have, and it's gotten big thumbs up, don't you think?
Yeah.
The first initial reaction is very positive. Should we tease and come back to the Adam Schefter tweet on another nickname?
No.
You can guess maybe what it is. Effective
is this for Washington?
Yes.
Oh, I've not seen it.
They will call themselves?
Is this the Red Tails?
No, they will call themselves the Washington Football Team. Pending adoption of a new name. This is not a final renaming and rebranding for the team. This is the name it wants to use until pending adoption of a new name in the future. Washington Football Team.
Well.
Established 1932.
I would say we probably were already calling them that.
Well, everybody had already started to do that. Even going back a couple years, there were some outlets that started going that way.
That looks like a bad culture there. There's a lot of stuff that's been coming out.
Oh, man.
On Washington.
You talk about an image problem.
Jeez.
So this is, I guess,
they might want to get this right. They could probably use a fresh start.
Well, it starts at the top. Starts at the top. The Washington Football Team. So we do not need to say the R word anymore.
Well, there'll be mess ups.
There'll be the R. And so so-and-so got traded to the Washington Football Team. The Washington Football Team. That's going to happen for the next couple years. It's a first down for the Washington Football Team. How many times were the Oilers called the Titans? The Titans called the Oilers for the first couple. Or this is what happened a lot when it was the Tennessee Oilers. The announcer would say, it's a first down for Houston. Right? And you're like, it's a first down for the Oilers, but not for Houston. There's a transition period for sure.
Yep. We went out to L.A. to start this hour as the teams are out on the ice. Another inter-squad scrimmage today.
It looks like
white
same teams.
I don't
see anything that's different. I could be wrong, but, Darren, I'm seeing the exact same rosters. So they're Pekka goaltending for the white team, UC for the gold team. Pekka's team has the Jofa line. The gold team has the Duchesne line with Granlund and Turris. That was the line that connected big yesterday in the scrimmage. Ellis and Yossi are on the white team. Ekholm and Favreau on the gold team. So it's a fairly even split of the squads, right?
Rocco lost his helmet, and it slid all the way into the net. So does that count as a goal or no?
In warm-ups, you can do what you want. Rocco's got a little more flow going right
now. He does.
He's got the hair growing a little longer here. So his line is on the white team. Grimaldi, Bonino, and Smith.
The gold team was in control, up 4-1 when we left the airwaves yesterday in the third period.
Yeah.
Gold was up 4-1
and
when we
the third period
off.
Really was not. It was more of a special team, specialty kind of thing. It was not a 20-minute running clock, so officially the score ended up being 4-1 in the two periods that they played. All five goals were scored in the first period in that game. So it was kind of a fast start for the gold team, even though they were outshot by the white team. I'm also wondering if Scott Nichols is going to be refereeing today again.
Do we have the same officials, David Good and Scott Nichols?
I assume that they are, again, on the job. So Watson, Sissons, Yarncroke on the goal team. So the four lines that have been doing the regular rushes when the team is all together are split between the two teams. So Sissons' line and Duchesne's line are on the gold team. Johansson's line and Bonino's line are on the white team. Yossi and Ellis are on the white team. Ekholm, Favreau on the gold team. So that's how they've deployed what we think is going to be more or less the regular lineup.
Let's let everybody know who they're taking to Edmonton. Like, a lot of people are asking, a lot of fans are asking, how does this work? You know, they release their training camp roster, whatever we're calling this, July training camp, return to play training camp. You called it summer camp one day, whatever we want to call it. the roster that they put out there, obviously they're not taking everybody that was on that roster. So let's let people know how this is going to work when they depart from Nashville and head to the Hub City.
Yeah, well, let's start with Philip Tomasino, who's 18 years old, about to turn 19, I think. They brought him here just to kind of have him go through the experience. But now, so he's gone. They had, I think the number was 35 or 36 that they have here with the group, so you could have basically two teams.
Were you counting the four goalies?
I don't know if I was even counting the four goalies.
I think it was like 38, I think,
yeah,
in total.
Basically enough to have a scrimmage,
yeah.
Right? You have two teams that you have available. But then you're going to take, I think the number is 30 or 31, to Edmonton. So not all of these guys will travel when the team departs, because you can only take 50 or 52, I think, with your entire party up to the bubble. You can't have more than 52, I think, in the bubble with your group.
So are you locked in? Could you not do anything? This is such a David Poile question. I mean, I wish we had him here to answer. Like, how does this work?
Well, I have to believe. I was thinking this yesterday. I don't know the answer. But if you had an emergency situation.
That's what I'm getting at.
And you ran out of players, I think you could pull from the pool here.
Well, let me just start with
that. But I don't think that those guys stay here and work out. I think they just go home, the guys that don't make the travel squad. Because, I mean, you think about it. You take 30 guys. You're only dressing 20, right? You have 10 extra guys that you're not dressing. That's a lot of black aces there.
What if somebody has a goaltender get hurt? Like, you don't have an emergency goalie on hand.
No, I think you do.
Oh, they are going to have one in Edmonton?
Oh, I would think you'd bring three.
So everybody's taking three goalies?
I don't know. I think you're bringing 30 guys.
Like, you would have to,
I
right?
I think you would bring no, you're not going to have an emergency goalie in a playoff.
No, it's a – well, I know, but that's what I'm getting at. That is not in play. Like, we've
right.
talked about that before.
So you got to bring an extra guy. You're bringing
so you've
at least three.
So they're going to probably bring Connor Ingram.
Oh, yeah, if not Ingram and
Grossman.
You could bring four, I guess, if you needed to. If you got two goalies hurt,
okay,
you need four.
Right. But that's what I'm saying is what goes to the Hub City, is that locked in and that you have to deal with it no matter what happens?
I don't know.
That is a great David Poile question, isn't it?
I don't know what happens if there was an emergency. We can start by asking Elliot at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, that's a good idea. We can do that.
Because I guess especially stranger things have happened if God forbid, somebody gets the virus and it spreads.
Three people tested positive.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy. You can see a scenario where all the goalies are hanging out. If one gets it, maybe they all get it, and they all – you got a problem. So what happens? David Ayers comes in and plays if you're in Toronto, I guess. But, yeah, I think you take 30 or 31 up there in your party. So I think, you're thinking four or five extra forwards. A total of 8, 9 defensemen, maybe 10. But that's what they have to determine. So not every single one of these guys is going to travel with the team up there.
So the teams are out on the ice. White versus gold. The clock is running down at 5 minutes right now. So I don't know. Are they going to run through everything that they did yesterday?
I think they're doing
the anthem.
I think it's a pregame routine, just like yesterday.
So they'll leave.
They'll regroup.
Okay.
Resurface the ice. Come out, national anthem, and drop the puck. I think it'll be a noon start again.
We're actually going to go
maybe 12:05 or 12:07
out to Arizona and to start the third hour and talk about the opponent for the Predators. We'll learn a little bit more about the Coyotes, find out how their training camp has gone, and we'll do that coming up at noon today. Jim Wyatt also in the third hour, as well as yesterday, Barrington Evans was signed by the Titans, and so a lot of these draft picks are getting signed by these teams. We'll talk to Jim Wyatt also in the third hour. And then you heard us say it, Elliot Friedman with Sportsnet in the fourth and final hour of the program. We will come back and wrap up the second hour of Darren, Donnick, and Chase live here at Bridgestone Arena. We'll do that on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, if you want to get two tickets for two parks for the price of one, that's two tickets for the price of one. Well, it's very easy. Beach Bend and Splash Lagoon Water Park, those tickets are on sale right now. All you have to do is go to our website. Go to GameNashville.com, click on Beach Bend, buy one, get one free, and purchase your tickets now for just $37.99. So good deal there, especially during these hot days, even though we've been getting some crazy weather here lately. These thunderstorms. The heat, I guess, is creating these nasty thunderstorms.
But we need it. We needed some rain, you know?
We did. I will grant you that. The teams have left the ice.
Zambonis are out. Ice crew's out.
And the teams, they'll have their inter-squad scrimmage here in about 15 minutes or so. Seattle Kraken, that is going to be the 32nd franchise in the National Hockey League. That'll be in the 2021-22 season.
Now, this is what you have on social media. I love it because it's so predictable, right? This is what I know. Anytime that somebody announces a nickname, there will always be people on Twitter that say, I called it. I told you it was going to be the Kraken. Am I right?
Yeah, sure. Always that happens.
Besides all the people that are saying, this is terrible, or I love it. It's one extreme or the other is the reaction, right? And to the Kraken's credit, they're getting the big one. They're getting a lot of love. The first impression is huge. I've seen other ones that first impression is terrible. But over time, people love the uniform. But there's always that guy that says, I called this. I told you about 6 months ago it was going to be the Kraken. I knew it. I told you. I said on the show. Or I tweeted this way back on November the 3rd. I told you it was going to be the Kraken. There's always that guy.
So earlier in the week, we had on
because Kraken was getting tossed around for a while. There's no question. That was definitely
did you
one
was
of,
did you anybody ask
that.
You? Did
I
you,
had heard that a lot.
What did you think it was going to be?
Oh, I had no idea because
well, I mean, if you
because
had a,
if we went by that,
you had never thought about it.
If we went by that for the Titans, we never would have gotten it right because it was a Copperheads. That would have been the one that was tossed around the most.
Yeah.
Copperheads. Right?
I would say
of
yes.
All the calls we got for at least we got it before they announced that they were going to change the name, but once they said next year we're going to have a new name for a whole year, it was I'm calling to give a name for the team. Here's one for you. How about the Copperheads? Like, dude, you're like the 730th person's called this show. And say you want it to be the Copperheads.
And they thought they were the
first. Hey, guys, I just want to throw out a name.
Wait till the guys hear this.
I've got it. The Copperheads. We had one guy that would send the station the logo, the helmet. I mean, he was on a campaign to do this. And we were like, what do you want us to do? We do not control. We're not running this contest. We're not doing this at all. Why are you sending us? The guy sent us a helmet of a Copperhead helmet. It was painted and everything. Like, this is great. What do you want us to do with this?
We had on.
I'm sure that guy was out there in Seattle with. I got the logo. I got the Kraken. I want to design the Kraken uniform.
I'm sure somebody's already come up with a song. Right, a Seattle Kraken song.
Oh, that's the next thing. Yeah, the Kraken song.
Because you know we've gotten songs delivered to us in the past as well. I was we had Michael Jannetty on from SpotTrack, right?
We did.
Earlier in the week.
2 days ago.
A couple days ago. And really good conversation with him. If you haven't checked out at least them on Twitter, it's at S-P-O-T-R-A-C. Okay? That's how you find them on Twitter. And they do a lot of stuff around salaries. And something that caught my – just literally their last tweet that I thought was interesting, because the Titans are expected to start their season where? In Denver against the Broncos,
right?
On Monday Night Football. And it's pretty interesting when you think about the important pieces, the starters on offense for the Broncos, and what they have invested in them. It's pretty impressive, as in, wow, that's who they're rolling with. Now, it's not impressive if they go 4-12 this year, and you're like, well, yeah, that's why they're just paying them that. Some of them are young, so it makes sense. But, yeah, I guess they got their that you get what you pay for, right? So Drew Lock, what do you think he counts against the cap this year?
Drew Lock?
Yeah, who's going to be their starting quarterback.
Super cheap. He's on his rookie contract.
Yeah. $1.6 million.
Yeah.
So their starting quarterback against the Titans is going to count $1.6 million against the cap. Melvin Gordon, they got him from the Chargers. What's he count against the cap?
$6
million? $7
million. Okay.
So close. You know, they've got another really good running back in Philip Lindsay. Lindsay, right?
Yeah.
What's Philip Lindsay count against the cap?
Not much, because he's on his first contract.
So what's not much?
1.3, 1.5.
About half of that. 700.
Not even that?
755,000.
Wow. Yes. That's a pretty good deal. That's so bang for your buck.
Melvin Gordon and Philip Lindsay in their backfield, which is a really good combo to have.
That's a pretty good duo.
That is not even $8 million toward the cap. Those two running backs combined. It's about.
And then you throw the quarterback in, you're still under $10 million.
I was going to say, you're still under 10. You're two running backs and a quarterback, and you're under $10 million against the cap. Cortland Sutton. Sutton, pretty good receiver, right? Cortland Sutton? What's he make?
Well, all this is getting at why they could take on a Jarrell Casey contract and take a shot at it.
That's where I'm going with this.
Cortland
Sutton is what?
First contract, right? He wasn't a first-round pick, was he?
First or second. He was high. I mean, he was.
Was he first?
Let's.
Because Locke was second round, right?
I think he
because
was.
Because even a guy on his who was a first-round pick isn't making a lot. But if you weren't a first-round pick, you're making less than $1 million, right? If you're on your first contract.
Cortland Sutton, who played at SMU, was second-round pick. High second-round pick. So high second round.
Okay, so he's under $1 million, right?
Nope.
He's over $1 million?
Yep.
Okay. Not by much, though. We also have a developing situation
1.
On the
8.
Ice. It looks like Nick Barnowski is part of the ice crew today, shoveling. He has no shovel right now.
No.
Right now he's just showcasing his fine skating ability. He needs a shovel. And now
he's got it. Well,
he skated out there without a shovel. What was he thinking?
Sutton is $1.8 million. Okay, Jerry Jeudy, their first-round pick.
Well, I don't know what the slotting is, but just tell me. It's a little. It's
$2.7 million.
First-round pick, a little more expensive.
K.J. Hamler, $1.3 million. And then, of course, their tight end, Noah Fant, $2.8
million. First-rounder from last year.
All that. So all they think about. A quarterback, two running backs, three receivers, and a tight end. It's about $20 million against the cap.
That's pretty tight.
That's their first three receivers, their two stud running backs,
Svelte,
their starting quarterback, and their stud tight end. It's about $20 million.
Pretty Svelte.
Cap, right?
Now the question is, what does that equate to wins? It starts with how Locke does, right? Who's their other option at quarterback? I'm trying to think. They've got another guy.
Probably John Elway.
He might be better than the other option that they have. He might be better than Locke.
Because they obviously don't have Flacco anymore. He's gone.
Well, they went and got somebody. Is it Case Keenum or somebody like that?
I don't think so.
Keenum was there last year. He's
Case
gone
Keenum
now.
Is a guy that I think, honestly, the Titans should be looking at.
That still is a question. Jeff Driskel, Brett Rippon, Riley Neal?
Sure. Yeah.
Is that that's it? Jeff Driskel, the transfer out of Florida?
Yes. And they played at what? Louisiana. Did he not?
Is Brett Rippon related to Mark Rippon?
Was he La Tech? Right? Driskel
Riley
went
Neal?
To La Tech.
Riley Neal, the Vanderbilt quarterback for Riley Neal? He's fourth on the
So what, you're not impressed? What, you're saying you're not impressed
I would say there's not a lot of established talent in that depth chart.
You're saying, so it's not Mark Rippon. It's not Mark Rippon?
No, it's Brett. It's Boise
Brett
State.
Rippon.
Boise State.
So you're saying that they probably are going to be in trouble if Drew Locke goes down?
Well, Drew Locke, he's hardly played at all. I didn't realize that Driskel got into some games last year. Did you?
No.
He threw 105 passes last year. Where was I? I didn't know that was even out
Broncos
there.
Broncos weren't
He was
good.
In the league. Holy cow.
All right, we'll come back. We'll talk about the Coyotes to start the third hour. We'll do that on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.